Do you notice that the youth and all of the youth workers are gone? Do we have a picture of them? I thought there might be a picture. There they are. I told them, I said, make sure you look like you're praying or something, the reason why you're ditching church. But they're having a good time out at the Myers house. And man, I just love our teenagers, and I'm so excited they got to get away on what would you call almost the coldest night of the year. So I read this week that in the scriptures, in the Bible, Jesus said more about the Holy Spirit than he did about church. Jesus said more about the Holy Spirit than he did about marriage. And last Sunday, we said it's the gift that changes everything. As remember, Jesus prepared his followers to face life without him, and he gives them this promise. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the Lord gave them his Holy Spirit for two purposes: power within, because we don't have the power on our own to do what God wants us to do. Power within, and then power to proclaim. Last week, I also said I went to two different seminaries, one a Pentecostal seminary and one a Baptist seminary, to kind of figure out why do they just kind of hate each other and they both think that they're the most important group. And I told you last week, I learned a lot from both. And I think that I am what you would call a Bapticostal. I have no problem with that. I remember in Pentecostal seminary, I remember I took this class on the filling of the Holy Spirit, and one of them said, if you do not speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, that just rubs me the wrong way. And I said, what about Billy Graham? With all of that he has done to bring people to know Christ, you're telling me that he's not filled with the Holy Spirit? And someone quickly responded and said, just imagine how much more he could have done had he been filled with the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, let me just tell you what I'm thinking. If I could have 1/100th of the impact of Billy Graham, I would never want to speak in tongues a day in my life. Well, and I told you I'm going to offend somebody today, so just plan on it. But I thought, you know what? And then, of course, that was when I was labeled a Baptist at the Pentecostal seminary. And, you know, the Bible kind of talks about some of this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's super clear. Now you're the body of Christ. And individual members, and God has appointed in the church, and these are gifts that God gives. Apostle, prophet, teacher, miracles. I love this. And then gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. No problem. No problem with me whatsoever. But then the Pentecostal never reads the rest of these verses. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? My understanding is that there are many evidences that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, not just speaking in tongues. Don't misunderstand me, I'm for all of God's gifts. But I have struggled with the Pentecostal movement for a long time. Some of the most hateful people I've ever met in my life are people who claim to be the most full of the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying. And I'm not being mean. Doesn't mean there aren't great Pentecostal people, but some, and there's things I haven't understood.
You know, I've been part of me, hey, listen, if somebody falls over backwards, they're a lay person. If they fall over forward, they're a minister. I said, what if they slip and fall sideways? What is that? And I remember working for a church and the pastor would come and he'd go, I'm like, what is going on? Oh, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he's baying like a sheep and roaring like a lion. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me. I don't get this. Don't get me wrong. I remember being in Trinidad, West Indies, and people were pushing people over, kind of, I thought, well, they're coming down the line. I'm just going to lay down and act like it happened to me so I don't get pushed over because I don't want someone conking me on the head and think about getting a concussion. So I just laid on the ground. But check this out. God doesn't do it my way. He had this little woman come up to me. She kneeled down and she said, hey, this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And I kind of looked up. I thought, do we know each other? Literally read my mail. And I said, God, I don't have this all together, do I? And there was a lady in my church. She always fell over. And her daughter's like, Mom, you look so stupid. Quit doing that. And I didn't think it was the Holy Spirit. So there was a Sunday. I decided, if she goes to fall, I'm not going to let her. I'm not going to do this. If it's God, I want to see it. Fine. If it's not God, I'm not doing this. So I held on to her. She started to go backwards. I'm like, you're not going. One problem. She had a larger girth than I did. And I was holding on tight. Well, guess what happened? You know, that's where the term holy roller came up. I did a holy roll right off of that. And I'm like, okay, Lord, you got to help me here. And I've struggled with it. I've struggled with it to what end is it? I mean, so many of my good Pentecostal friends, there's just a little bit of a pride. You know, instead of seeking the giver, they're seeking the gifts of the giver. So someone can have gold teeth or gold in their Bible or this or that. I'm like, wait a minute. Who's coming to Jesus? Why is it just about, why don't we all pray for the gift of healing and go through the hospital and lay hands on people and see them get healed? Why don't we pray for the gift of helps? I can put you to work. I mean, but we focus, the Pentecostal group only focuses on a few things. And again, I'm in a Pentecostal denomination. You're like, Jim, do they let you in? Well, yes. Do not get me wrong. I'm just telling you, there's some areas that I've struggled. And it's not just with the Pentecostal movement. I've struggled with the Baptist. And, you know, there's this verse in 1 Corinthians 13. It goes on and it talks about how let me just read it to you. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. If I could speak all of the languages on earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't have love, I would be nothing. I want you to have every gift that God wants you to have. And I've seen the gifts of God move in beautifully miraculous ways. You're like, well, Jim, you got to have a little bit of flesh with, you know, things with the spirit. We're experimenting. It's fine. I'm not doing that. I mean, my head, you know, maybe I'm too much in my head. I admit that or something. But if it's real, I'm in. If we have to conjure it up and make it happen, I'm not in. And, I have good Pentecostal friends and, you know, they would make fun of me and I would say, yeah, but what about? To what end do we want these gifts? It's a legitimate question. Now, I love what it also says in Corinthians. When we talk about all of the gifts and everything, love never ends, or love never ceases in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Do you know why love never ceases? Because God is love. And when we transition from this earth to heaven, that's still going to be there. But when we transition from this earth to heaven, there's a few things that we're not going to need. It says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. You're like, well, why is that stuff stopping? Because when we're in heaven, we don't need a gift of knowing. When we're in heaven, we don't need to prophesy. But love will absolutely remain. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now that's some interesting wording. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Now, if you're a good Baptist, you know that that word perfect in the dynamic of the Baptist belief system, that's the Bible. When the Bible came, we don't need the other stuff. That is so lame. No biblical scholar is ever going to say that perfect there equates to this. How many times in the Bible is the Bible called the perfect? It's not. Wow, if you're a Baptist, I just messed with your world. I was a little nervous about this. I'm thankful whoever prayed for me was a Lord. I'm like, oh, Lord, I need that prayer because the last thing I want to do is make people mad. Well, not really. I mean, but I don't want to make you mad, but I want you to think with me through this. I've read over 3,000 documents from the early 1900s related to this. And, you know, the bottom line, according to most biblical scholars, Paul's not referring to the Bible. He's envisioning when Christ returns, there's no need for limited knowledge. There's no need for tongues. There's no need for prophecy. But what does remain is love. Now, and you can disagree with me today, but I want you to still love me. Here's another thought for the Baptist. Now, let me just back up. When it comes to the Pentecostal church in the early 1900s, they thought they had it all together. In the Bible, you see kind of three different types of speaking in tongues. The first is in Acts where the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in tongues and people from other languages began to hear that. In the Greek, that's called xenoglossolalia. So if you were from somewhere not in the immediate area, they were actually speaking a language that they understood. Early missionaries thought, this is awesome, I'm going to do this. So they would travel to a foreign land, get off a boat, get off whatever they were doing, and they would start to speak in tongues, and people would look at them like, that's strange. You're like, uh-oh, what happened? What happened is that xenoglossolalia is not going to happen every time. How many times have I been in church when there's a tongue, and then people like wait for seemingly 4 hours, and then the same person interprets it, and I'm like, I don't even know if that's biblical. That's strange. So that's tongues and interpretation. I'm not against that. Not at all. Then there's, as the Bible says, we don't know how to pray as we ought to, so we allow the Spirit to pray through us. Three types of tongues in the Bible. You know what Baptist missionaries do overseas? Pray in tongues. They have no problem with it. Seriously, they don't. I've met Baptist missionaries overseas. I'm like, you're not allowed to do that. They said, oh, that's just an American thing. We need all the help from God and the Holy Spirit we can get. And I'm like, oh, this would not go well at home. And by the way, some of them are also women who do an incredible work for God, but they would not be allowed to do that at home. Man, now we got the congregation speaking out. We're going somewhere. I would love to see more miracles. I would love to see more healing. I've got no problem with that. What I've got a problem with is, to what end do we want to receive a gift from God? Is it just to make ourselves look better? Because that's what it seems like it happens a lot. I even worked at a Baptist church, and you know what was interesting between the Pentecostal church and the Baptist church? Again, this is just my experience. Pentecostal people were very interested in seeing a move of God. The Baptists were interested in seeing God moving and people coming to know Jesus. I'm just glad not everyone's here today, so there's not as much fallout. Let me mention this too. We need the gifts of the Spirit. But there's another work of the Spirit called the fruit of the Spirit. Early Pentecostals, classical Pentecostals, also believed in holiness. The charismatic movement ushered in a lot of sloppy living. I mean, you know, I remember my name being Jim. There's a Jim Baker, a Jim Swagger. I'm like, Jim Brewer, oh my gosh, we're from the same denomination. I want to try to not do that. And the charismatic movement ushered in a lot of sloppy living, but lots of wildness in the Spirit. And then there's a group that would be called more of a neo-Pentecostal, which is saying, I believe in the historical things of the Pentecostal movement, but I also believe that we need to conduct ourselves in a way that is scriptural. I know you're going, man, Jim, I really needed to learn that today. Okay, good. Don't overlook the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. We need the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you why. In Galatians chapter 5, it says this. Paul is writing, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is opposite of what the Spirit wants, and the Spirit gives us desires which are opposite of the sinful nature. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." This is saying that there is evil in this world and there is good. Evil, everything divisive, everything that brings division is of the devil. It's just how it is. And then there's a God who cares and gives us the Holy Spirit that we might be able to live under the power of the Holy Spirit, because we can't live under the power of our own strength and be able to do what God wants us to do. We see that in the life of Peter, and we talked about that last week. After Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was totally different. The fruit of the Spirit are what I would say a great indicator of the vitality of your spiritual life. The fruit of the Spirit is the test to see if you're in sync with the Spirit or out of sync with God's Spirit. And, you know, Galatians, I mean, Paul just, he's not happy with the church in Galatia. Normally in the introduction of a book, Paul's like, oh, I love you, I thank you, life is good, everything's good and all that. In Galatians, he's like, okay, let's talk. Bam, 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 bam. And so he just, I mean, like, he goes off right here. So you want to talk about being, you know, full of the fruit of God's Spirit? Here we go. It says in Galatians 5:19, when you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, or dissension, division, enviousness, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Paul's just going like, I'm done. Here it is, Church of Galatia. We're not doing this. And then, but you know, the funny thing about our world is that we're offended about everything. Except when it comes to sin, like these ones. Don't say that. Don't, whoa. The gluttony one. I gained 15 pounds this summer. You know how I did it? There's a fruit of the Spirit called self-control. I'm like, dang, that hurts. Anyway, so, but I kind of feel like Zach. Now I wear skinny jeans. They're all skinny. Okay. I got to keep looking at my notes here. I'm going to go away from where the Spirit would produce fruit. But check out what he says here. Paul says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is not saying, wow, I struggled with this. Or, gosh, I blew it there. Gosh, I shouldn't have done that. He's saying anyone who's choosing to live in such a way, you're not going to feel comfortable in the kingdom of God. Then he goes on and he says, but the Holy Spirit, this is why we need the Holy Spirit, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and 15 pounds later, self-control. What I'm trying to tell you, I'm not perfect. And I'm not claiming that I have superiority. I'm just trying to tell you, I've wrestled with the Holy Spirit for a long time, trying to figure out what does it look like to be honest and authentic. And it's not that easy. Like, I want God to use me in his gifts, and I believe he has, and I believe he will. But I also don't want to say that I want the gifts of God and not exhibit the fruit of God. Who doesn't want to have joy? Right? Joy is not happiness. Happiness is based on happenstance. So when something good happens, we get happy. Joy is something that's intrinsic. In spite of the things going on in us, we can have a joy. We can have, who doesn't want peace? Come on. Who doesn't want patience? Who doesn't want kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? These are the things you cannot concoct by yourself. Like, you can't make a smoothie and go, oh, I'm drinking patience today. So good. Oh, here's one for self-control. You can buy a self-help book, but it's not going to do for you what the fruit of the Spirit will do for you. If you have a Pentecostal friend, ask him about the fruit of the Spirit. We want the holy stuff. I'm telling you, fruit in your life looks pretty good to the world around you. What is the purpose of being filled with the Spirit? Power within. Power within to have the fruits of the Spirit. And then power to proclaim. More people need to know about Jesus. They really do. And who do you think God wants to use for those people to know about Jesus? You. And the world could care less what gift of the Spirit you have if you don't exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you. Kind of needed that. All right, now listen to this. There's no law against these things. He's talking about the law of Moses. We're not living there anymore. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and have crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading. Wow, this is so good. So the early Christians, as we think about the book of Acts, this is stuff that was so powerful and so real to them. Remember Peter, he fumbled and he couldn't do anything. But in Acts 4:8, it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, Peter goes off. And it says that they were amazed that an unlearned fisherman could speak with such eloquence and boldness. Remember? It's the Holy Spirit in Peter. In Acts 4:31, after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to them? Then they preached the word of God with boldness, power to proclaim. Everyone wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And we want to live the book of Acts. You know, I'm an Acts church. Okay. Which one of you is going to be Stephen? Oh, we don't want to be Stephen. Well, why not? This is what the scriptures say in chapter 7 about Stephen. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations because he just told them how wrong they were to crucify the Savior. And if you ever want to get a good Old Testament history, just read about Stephen in Acts chapter 7. I mean, it's amazing. And they shook their fist at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Power to proclaim and power within. Power within to handle persecution. He didn't cave in. And they killed him. They literally killed him. And what came out of his mouth as he was dying? Forgive them. You know what? I don't know if Peter ever spoke in tongues, but I can tell you what. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a young man there that day watching. His name's Saul. You read about him this week in the story. We read about all the good he did, but I don't want to go to the good he did. I want to go back to where it started. He watched Stephen, and he loved it. And he went and himself, he got authorization to take sweet mamas and throw them into prison and to take dads and throw them into prison. And one of the powers of the Holy Spirit is the power of forgiveness. And that's what happened to Paul. Jesus just smoked him off his donkey. Boom, made him blind. And you say, well, Pastor Jim, that's someone being slain in the spirit. Okay. He wasn't even a believer. Let that rock your theology. Now, I don't know if he fell forward off the horse or backwards, depending on if he was a minister or not. But, I mean, How about you be in Acts chapter 9, Ananias? Not the one who lied to the Holy Spirit and got killed, but this one. He's like, whoa, time out. I don't want to go talk to him. He's a dirty, rotten Christian killer. And then the Lord said, you time out. I said, go lay hands on him and pray. This is what the Bible says. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him. I don't know if he put his hands around his neck. And he says, and check this out. This is a Christian killer, and this is another believer who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And how does he address him? You stinking loser. No. He says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Here's something else that happened in the book of Acts. The Spirit helped Peter rethink his theology. Peter was a Jew. Jews hated Gentiles. The Gentile pagan. The Jews were God's chosen people who most of them didn't live for God. That's why they were beat up all through the Old Testament. And Jesus says, hey, by the way, Peter, you're having a dream and things are coming down from heaven and you're eating these things. And Peter in the dream's going, no, I can't. I don't eat those things. Help me. And the Lord says to him, whatever I call clean, you're not calling clean anymore. So Peter goes to this guy's house, and I love how Peter talks to him. Peter told them, you know it's against our law for a Jewish man to enter the home like this or to be associated with you. He had to say that first. Just so you know, I'm a little bit above you. And it's not even right for me to do this. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. And the Holy Spirit fell on them, and Peter's jaw dropped. Well, word gets back to home base in Jerusalem. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles have received God's word. Uh-oh. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers criticized him. You entered the home of the Gentiles and even ate with them. You dirty, rotten person. Peter defends himself and says, guys, it's crazier than you think. Of course I believe what you believe, but you're not going to believe what happened. He says, as I began to speak, Peter continued, the Holy Spirit fell on them. What? Just as he fell on us at the beginning. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? Then they said, wow. Jesus, you pulled a fast one. You're giving, you mean we're all equal? Yeah. Now there's only one exalted, and he was the one who hung on the cross. The rest of us, nobody is better than anyone. Two big ideas. The filling of the Holy Spirit gives us power within. And we need it. We need the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And honestly, as I read that in this last week and studied, I thought, Jim, you need more of the Holy Spirit in you. You just do. And I'm like, Lord, I know. I want to try to do it on my own. I want to be a Christian do-gooder. But I forget it's all about prayer. It's all, and I'm a professional Christian, right? I'm paid to be a Christian. You don't pay me to be a dirty, rotten heathen. I mean, so I have to, you know, have my professional life, then I have a personal life, that I want my personal life to be right. And there's a part of me that says, Jim, you could have more of the Holy Spirit and eat a little less. And sometimes that hurts. Like we talked about in our Connect group this week, it was like an all confession thing about how we drive. I won't point out any of the other sinners, but I'm not the only one. Sometimes we need more patience when we drive. I tried to leave early so one person wouldn't have to be behind me. I thought, oh my gosh. Here's the thing. We're all sinners. And we can look at somebody else and think that we're not as big a sinner, but we're all sinners. We need power within. And then we also need power to proclaim, because there's a lot of people who are struggling who don't understand that they can find joy, peace, patience, kindness, that they can be filled with the love of God. And when God's love fills them, they can actually forgive other people who have hurt them, because they feel so forgiven. There are people who need God's love because this week's hard. I got a text this morning that somebody's in the ER struggling. They need God's spirit there right now to comfort them because things may not go well. Right? So we need power within, and then we need power to proclaim. It's God's great gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Quick question. Then we're going to wrap things up. Do you sense the Holy Spirit's presence in your life? How have you sensed the power of the Holy Spirit transforming you? Or do you need more of God's Spirit? Do the people at work notice the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Or would they think, as so many people say, the Christians aren't any different than anybody else? Do people at work sense the fruit of the Spirit in your life? It's a good question. And then, do you have so much of the Holy Spirit in you, that you've actually proclaimed Jesus to somebody else? And maybe it's not what you said, maybe it's what you did, how you lived, how you helped. I wrote this, I need the Holy Spirit to help my life. And then I added you, we all do. Let's pray together, and I'm going to pray kind of a prayer like I did last week and just ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, help us, to give us whatever He would have for us. Holy Spirit, teach us, I pray. Teach us, as Jesus said, that you would bring to our remembrance the things that we have read. Give us your gifts. Whatever those gifts would be, Holy Spirit, give us your gifts and let us be free in you. And help us not just to seek the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. That others might see the good works of you in us and then glorify the Father in heaven because of it. Help us, Lord, with peace. Oh, we need peace. We need peace beyond words. God, help us, help our hearts not to be troubled. Give us joy that comes from knowing you. Not only do we want you to fill us with your Spirit, but Lord, unleash in us the fruits of your Spirit. Help us to understand you. Help us to seek you, that we might live life as, Lord Jesus, you intended. Amen. Amen. God bless you so much. Thanks for being here today.